All right. Well, I can't tell you enough about how grateful I am here to be here today. I want to say thank you also to a group of people that many of you don't know and you don't get a chance to see, and certainly don't need to applaud them in this moment, but I want to recognize them. There's been a handful of people behind the scenes, our production team, for these past several months, learning on the fly about how to make all the video come together, how to do live feed and make it all happen on our website. And they have done an outstanding job, and I'm so thankful for them. I want to celebrate and acknowledge them for sure. So thank you to all of our production team making this stuff happen and learning it. It's a big deal. It's hard. It's, you know, if I just told you go into the TV business, you know, start to try to figure this all out. They've done an incredible job doing their best they can to make this all happen. So thankful to them. Well, I can't tell you enough again how grateful I am to be here today. Sometimes you don't realize what you have, of course, until it's gone. It's that old saying. And I can honestly say, as I know many of you would agree with this, that we are blessed to have a place to gather and worship our Creator. You know, it's a great thing that we get to come together, and it's like, man, we really miss that. But you can, when you're doing it consecutively and kind of in a normal way, it's easy to not realize how grateful we are that we actually get a place to gather. You know, many people around, of course, our world don't get a chance to gather like this, and so we're grateful that we have a place to come and gather and worship our Creator together. And so it's great to gather with you and see your faces again, or at least your eyebrows, or, you know, your eyes, beautiful eyes, some of you, great, all of you, beautiful eyes, all right. And so it's great to see you. And if you're online, once again, thank you for joining with us today. And so if you want to keep watching from home, you're welcome to do that. If you want to pre-register again, you can do that. Either way, you feel safe and best. We're just glad to have you part of our Brave community. One part of my role as the pastor of Brave is to hear from God and then teach on what I believe that He tells me. That's essentially what I do each and every week that I get a chance to teach you, is that ultimately I am preparing and asking God, what does He want to say to you? What does He want to say to me? What does He have to say to us? What does He want me to teach on? And so every 6 months or so, typically, I try to spend some time dedicated in prayer and plan out what I call, it's like a sermon calendar or a preaching calendar. And I've done this for about 13, 14 years, where I just kind of map it out and I try to get some time away. And I typically have this sermon calendar sometimes a year in advance, but oftentimes about 6 months in advance, where I kind of feel like the Lord is leading me down the road so that we can make adequate preparations for that. Sometimes and occasionally He'll change it the week of, but most of the time it comes out months in advance. So I want to take a moment here and talk and walk you through the series that I've taught on this year, and I want to walk you through this, and you'll see why in just a moment. We began learning that this year God was calling us to do a couple of things, and I want you to take a look at some of the series and the teachings that we did that are still available online. If you remember Vision 2020 talk, but if you remember this, the title of this vision talk was Be the Church. Now, initially, I had this whole series plan called All In. We were going to kind of go all in, and it was going to be this statement about all in. And then the Lord changed it, and He said, no, I want you to teach on Be the Church, and I want you to put a subtitle in. No joking. This is how God communicated to me. And He said, I want you to put the subtitle, Stop Going to Church. And I didn't know that He was being literal, obviously, but that's something that God was teaching us, to be the church. So we put this vision out about the importance of being the church. And then in February, we did a series on spiritual warfare. Again, that was not originally my plan, but then God changed it, and He showed us to do a talk on spiritual warfare, which is all about, of course, helping us to understand that we've got to win the war in the spiritual before we see a change in the physical. Then He took us through a series called The Blessed Life, which was right leading up into our Easter series, which was a series all about trusting God in our finances. And then, of course, after Easter service, we did a series called The Heart Matters, which was all about fixing our hearts, that we all have this heart problem and that God wants to fix our hearts. And here's why I want to take the time to walk through this with you, because I want you to see how God is absolutely involved in it. The title of today's message as we close out this series on Acts, part 7 of the series, is it is still relevant. It is still relevant. You'll see what the it is in just a minute. It is still relevant, okay? Listen, at the beginning of the year, he was saying focus on being the church, right? Not just going to church. Far too long, people had just attended a church but never really getting outside and doing what the church was destined and called to do in the first place. And he said, I want you to focus on being the church. In fact, this is one of our core values that many of us walk underneath of one of our core values every single week when we pass into this auditorium. It says we are the church, not spectators of the church. We were never called to spectate and sit in seats. That's not what the original design of the church was created to do. And God was speaking and he was saying, this year is the year you get out of the building and you start to be what I created you to be. We didn't know at the time what that really looked like, but we certainly have a better glimpse of what he was talking about now. He said, called us to be the church. In the second series, he was teaching us, he wanted us to remember that we live in a spiritual war, reminding that the fight, listen to me, the fight is not against flesh and blood, but against powers of this dark world. And yet you see people all over our world fighting against one another, fighting online, fighting in chat rooms, fighting in their posts on social media, fighting in the streets. And yet he gave us a clear indication. It says the fight is not against one another. That's not where the fight is won. The fight is won in the spiritual side of things, because everything that happens in the physical is preceded by what happens in the spiritual. And he taught us this. In fact, during this series on February the 9th, I used an illustration. I didn't know why. I used this as an example, but I did. It was in my notes. And on February 9th, I did a talk, and I used this example of war on racism, not knowing the events that would occur to follow in the months to come, but God did. Don't forget, he said, if you want to see a change in the physical, then you have to fix what is broken in the spiritual. I remember directly saying on February 9th that we don't have a racism issue. Now, don't take that clip and then, you know, put that out there. Hear the whole thing. It's not a racism issue, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. At the root of it, racism is a heart issue. And I did this on February the 9th, not knowing all that was going to happen in the world to unfold. And certainly, let me be clear, there's a racism issue in our nation, but I'm clear with where it starts, in the heart. If you want to solve a physical issue like racism and so many others, I can go through a list of greed, jealousy, envy, hate, murder, adultery, I could go through it all. And all of it starts with the heart. You got to fix the heart first. But God was teaching us, don't forget, it's a spiritual war that you have. Stop trying to fight against one another and fight the one who's behind it all. The kingdom of Satan. If you remember, there's two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Do you remember this teaching that we talked about? And God was teaching us, this is going to be a year of spiritual warfare, like maybe you've never seen it. Don't forget where you need to fight. On your knees, in prayer. That's where the battle is won. If you want to see a change in our nation, get on your knees more. Pray more. Call out to God more. Ask for his deliverance, his mercy, his releasing. He was teaching us about spiritual warfare. Then he talked to us about the blessed life. And I'm telling you, if there's one person who did not want to do a financial stewardship talk going into Easter, it was me. And I kept asking the Lord, why in the world would I talk on finances going into Easter? No, we need to talk on evangelism. Why would we talk about money? No one's going to come for that series leading into Easter. We need as much momentum as we can get, right? Like, this is the common thing. But the Lord said, no, you do a talk on finances. Well, that happened right in the midst of COVID. And, of course, the question came, do we keep talking on the blessed life? But do we keep talking on money when people are starting to maybe lose their jobs? And the Lord said, yes, you can just keep talking. You stay with the plan. And so we talked on finances and stewardship. And he taught us that as long as we put him first in our finances, he promises to meet our needs. I want you to know that the 2 months when COVID hit, We had the highest giving we've ever seen in the history of our church. So many of you responded to God's word and your tithes and your offerings. I mean, literally, you literally, I believe if I'm correct on this, we had about a 40% increase in giving for the 2 months that COVID hit. Why? Because you responded to what God called you to do. And I heard of some incredible testimonies, by the way. Some of you let me know how God began to do some incredible things in your life financially as you begin to honor and do what God called us to do. Why did God teach us on this? Because he knew that our faith would be tested with all that was about to happen in our world in regards to our finances. Would we continue to obey him in our tithes and our offerings, even in the face of uncertainty? Our hearts would be tested, no doubt. Our faith would be tested. Even when we don't have a physical place to gather, would we still give to him? Looking back on it now, I know it's God's way of saying to us, don't forget when you are worried about the finances in the future. Remember that I'm faithful to my word. When you're tempted to not put me first in your finances, remember the lessons that you learned in the series, The Blessed Life. Don't you see that God was with us, preparing us and teaching us all this time? Then following Easter, a series called The Heart Matters, we learned that sin is the matter of the heart. We all have this heart problem. And I believe there's one thing that has been revealed since this pandemic has occurred. One thing that's been examined is our hearts. The heart of our nation has been exposed. The heart of our churches have been exposed. Because when you go to a time of self-examination, it reveals the heart. You know, how's your personal time with the Lord been the past 4 months? It reveals the heart. Who are you in private when no one's watching you? It reveals the heart. You know, it certainly reveals the heart of our families. You know, spending more time with our kids. You know, revealed my heart. I thought I was a pretty patient guy. And then you put me in a house with four children for a couple of months. Patience is suffering. It's like gone. It's like I got to learn patience again. You know, it reveals the heart. God was teaching us our hearts are about to be examined. Are we people of faith even when our faith is tested? Will we meet with him privately even when there's no place to gather publicly? Are we a church on more than just a Sunday? Can I ask our brave community online and here in person, are we a church more than just a Sunday? I'm not asking it's rhetorical, but think about it. Have you been the church since we haven't been here? Or are you just taking a break? Have we just taken a break? God is even looking at our own community here at Brave saying, what kind of church will you be if you can't gather? Will you call each other? Will you encourage each other? Will you pray for each other? Will you meet the needs of each other? Hearts are being exposed. In many ways, God has examined our hearts. Then we felt the Lord leading us to do a series on the book of Acts and reading it together. And the week following the events, of course, of George Floyd, our kids director, Deanna, gave a talk on Acts 10 that perfectly lined up with what was happening around our nation. And she taught from the scriptures that the gospel isn't prejudice. And it was just like kind of this perfect alignment with what was happening in our nation. Then 3 weeks ago, Don Jones, one of our board members, taught on Acts 3 about a man that was healed. 1 week before, he was going to begin chemo treatment for the cancer that was in his throat. Here's what I could go on to do. I could go on to give you examples after example after example how perfect all of this timing was. And I just want you to see that only God can do that. I'm not that smart enough to see all this ahead of time, how God was teaching and leading us through all of this and showing us what was to come, watching out for us. These are not just a series of coincidences. And I wanted to publicly acknowledge before you that I realized God was the one teaching us. And he was leading us and preparing us for all that lied ahead. And to that, I wanted to publicly say thank you to our God. How God is watching over us and teaching us and showing us. He's so merciful to us. So thank you for being a God who guides us even when we can't see. Teaches us what we need to know about the future. and who is faithful to us even when we are unfaithful to him, and who pours out his grace on us even when we don't deserve it. I say thank you, God, for showing us your grace and making it so evident that you're with us, especially your love that's been poured out on us here at Brave, allowing us a place to gather. So many churches can't gather around the world for lots of different reasons, and yet God has allowed us to do it today, and I'm grateful to the Lord for that. And today we're concluding this series on the book of Acts, where the movement of Christianity began to spread. That's what the book of Acts is all about, where this group of believers were gathering and praying together, and here we are in person once again, kind of like this book of Acts as we conclude this series. By the way, the seventh week, seventh is the number of perfection or completion, and here we are concluding this series, and we felt like, and I knew, God said that once this series ends, something's going to be different. I didn't know we're going to be meeting in person, but God did again. And as we wrap up this series, if you could take one thing away, it would be this statement. I want to just have you join us online, write some notes down. If you're in person here, you can write some of these notes down. But if I could just take what's one thing over the 7 weeks of this series I would ask you to take away, it would be this statement that we put up. And we talked about this in the part one of the series, that followers of Jesus refuse to allow dust to collect on the words for which other followers of Jesus gave their life. The reason is you can't help but to be transformed by the word. And this is the same word that we hold in our hands today for which men and women we read about gave their life. Men and women gave their life so that you could have access to this, so that you could read this. And we cannot afford, our nation can't afford, your family can't afford, dads, your family can't afford, mom, your family cannot afford, you cannot afford. Listen, if you're a young person, you're considering future and life and where you're going to head, we cannot afford to allow dust to collect on the words which other followers of Jesus gave their life. Because all through the book of Acts, you see this happening. People giving their life for the sake of the movement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they did to carry out the work of Christ, the work that Christ began, to share the gospel to the ends of the world. This is actually the picture we are given at the very end, Acts 28, verse 30 and 31. Here's what it reads. The very last two verses of this book, it says, "For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house, and he welcomed all who came to see him. And he proclaimed," or he preached, "he proclaimed the kingdom of God, and he taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." The last verse of Acts gives a great cliff note for the whole book. The gospel will be spread to the ends of the earth without hindrance. The gospel will continue to move forward without hindrance. So what we learn in the book of Acts is that no person, no political agenda, no evil spirit, no sickness, nothing can stop the advancement of the gospel. Every time the enemy tried to stop the gospel, all it did was result in advancing the gospel. I want you to see this in Acts 8. Look what it says in Acts 8. It says, "On the day that a great persecution broke out against the church." So you have persecution, and they're trying to destroy the church. Now, who's behind it? Kingdom of Satan, right? It's the evil rulers of this dark world that's operating through human beings, through humanity, to try to stop the movement of the gospel. "And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged both men and women and put them into prison. And those who had been scattered," it says, "preached the word wherever they went." Do you hear this? So Satan's strategy to stop the church in verse 1 only served to advance the church in verse 4. You see this, how incredible it is. Satan thought, I'm winning, however he talks. You know, I don't know. He thought, I'm winning. Only to realize he was actually losing. Yeah, the church, everything he tried to do to stop the advancement of the church, he couldn't stop it. Yes, church, our suffering is inevitable. It will happen. But our mission is unstoppable. You can't stop the spread of the gospel. Get this, church. There is nothing that will ever stop the advancement of the kingdom of God. Nothing. Nothing will stop the spreading of this gospel, listen to me, until it reaches the ends of the earth, because that's what Jesus said in Acts 1:8. This is going to continue until you reach the ends of the earth. And nothing can stop it. In fact, 1 Peter 23 says this, "For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever." And I'm here to remind you today that this gospel story is relevant. It is relevant. This gospel story is still relevant. Let me define relevant for you, just so you know. It means appropriate for the current time. The gospel is appropriate for the current time. The gospel will always be appropriate for the current time. And now here we stand in the midst of the history that we are writing. With all that is happening in our world, the call to share the gospel remains. Brave community, we must share this gospel. Yet to many of us, many of us did, if we had to honestly, publicly profess, it's true. Many watching online, the same is true. Many of us grew up with a consumer Christianity mentality where attending church was all about what we could get out of it rather than what we could give to it. And nothing breaks my heart more than to hear how someone has attended church their whole life. I've spoken to some. Some have their whole life attended a church or been a part of it, maybe even volunteered, yet still struggle how to tell someone else the gospel in a way that is understandable and applicable. How could that be? I mean, volunteer signups are high, or group attendance is going great, or maybe the finances are giving high, yet we miss the greatest call to all to share the gospel with somebody. How many people have you personally shared the gospel with? And I didn't say invite to church. I said share the gospel with them. How comfortable do you feel sharing the gospel? And yet the Lord is calling us to say, this is what we are called to do. It's our highest calling to share this gospel story. That's what the book of Acts is all about. Listen to me. The number one reason why people are not paying attention to God in our world is not because we haven't built great churches. There are some fantastic, gorgeous buildings out there. Have you seen them? Oh, they're beautiful. In fact, some of these places have beautiful, I mean, just art. Great smiling faces when you arrive. But the reason why our church is like, listen, our church is like our world, if you would. Is it not paying attention to God because we haven't built great churches or provided great children programs or served some fantastic coffee in some of these places? That is not the reason why the world still doesn't often pay attention to what's happening in the church. No, the reason is because they've deemed the word of God irrelevant. It's not relevant. The gospel isn't relevant. The church isn't relevant. It really doesn't make a difference. And it's lost its relevancy for many. But it is still relevant. As we conclude this series, which is all about the gospel in the book of Acts, it's our duty as disciples of Christ to carry out the work of Christ, to follow his commands given in Acts 1:8, where Jesus said, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." Go to Acts 1:8 if you can for just a minute. If we have it available, you can put it up. "When the power comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses." Remember, this word witnesses in Greek terminology would have been what we'd understand to be a martyr. Somebody who's, you know, killed for their faith. In fact, I opened this series with reading to you about a guy named John Rogers, and I talked to you about a guy named William Tyndale and so many others who gave their lives for this. If you haven't seen this documentary or video, it's called Sheep Among Wolves. You can watch it on YouTube for free. There's two of them. Sheep Among Wolves. You should just give it a watch. It'll help open your eyes to how many people are discriminated against and killed just simply for professing their faith in Christ, still today in 2020. Still happening around our world today. People giving their life for this. Some deeming it just the highest calling to give their life for this. putting themselves in horrendous living situations, places where they are afraid to step outside. They cannot gather. In fact, one of the fastest growing churches in our world is growing underground without ever having a building. It's the spread of the gospel that's happening. And we're called, no question about it, to continue to share this gospel message. And Jesus said, to the ends of the earth. Now more than ever before, we are reliant on the church doing what the church, that is the community of believers in our world, were created to do. I want to say that again. Now more than ever before, the church, right, is reliant on the church, that is the community of believers, the gathering of people, to do what they were created to do, to share the gospel message with their family, with their friends, and with their neighbors, rather than solely relying on the communicator from a stage to do it for them. Maybe God is looking at us, and I'm saying maybe, God is looking at us saying, pick up the pace in reaching the ends of the earth. Stop putting so many barriers. Well, first, I got to wait for the right time. Then I got to invite with a card. Then I got to maybe somehow like work this out. No, go share the gospel story with someone today. Today is the day of salvation. Lord, who can I share this gospel with? And maybe it began to have that relationship. Of course, there's some practical ways in which you could do that. But I just believe, church, that now more than ever, the body of Christ, Jesus Christ at the head of his church, is not looking just to me. He's not looking just to churches to do this. He's looking to you to go and carry this gospel message to the world. Anxiety and depression are becoming the norm. Divorces are on the rise. Financial strain has left many hopeless, and many are asking the question why, having no idea where to turn for the answer. And yet Psalm 119 gives a great picture of where to turn in times of hardship. Psalm 119, starting with verse 105, says this, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. You know, many times we quote scripture, and we negate the verses that follow or the verses that come before. They're very important. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Yes, Lord, you're like a flashlight. This is amazing. And then we forget the rest. Look what the writer goes on to say in verse 106. I have taken an oath and I'm confirming it. I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. What's the joy of his heart? God's word is the joy of his heart. If you were to take away the word of God, you would take away his joy. Your words are what bring me joy. How I'm so dependent on this word. My heart is set on keeping decrees, your decrees. Look what he says, to the very end. My whole life will be about this, and that's the essence of the book of Acts. Life is worth nothing without these words. I can't live without these words. This truly is my daily bread, and I can't function without it. This is the heart of the book of Acts. It is the word of God and only the word of God that leads us in times of famine and times of harvest. This is why we must look into our word. It is why we must stay committed to reading it daily, meditating on it day and night. And as we share the word that God is teaching us in those moments, it becomes a lamp for those who are walking in darkness. Reality is, but first you have to be able to absorb the light before you can extinguish it. Many of you say, I don't know what the answers are in our world. I don't know how to solve this issue or solve that issue. And yet the answer lies here. If you would just take a moment and take a glimpse here, and you get the answer that God is giving you, then you can go and share it with someone else so they too can then turn around and give the answer to someone else. And it goes on and on and on, and it gets spread. This is the heart of the series, the sharing of the gospel, to share the message of Christ, his love for humanity to the world. And that is why I say it again, if I could get you to apply one piece of this series to your life, it would be this statement that followers of Jesus refuse to allow dust to collect on the words for which other followers of Jesus have given their life. Here's what I say to you. And I say online listening in, it'd be hard to convince, I believe, our Lord, I'm a follower of you. I'm dedicated to you. You are a lamp for my feet. You're a light for my path. I know the verse, Psalm 119, 105. I've had it down since I was 4. But what about verse 106? I'm committed to this thing for the rest of my life until the very end. I will not forget your ways. I meditate on your word day and night. These are the righteous laws that I follow. So important that we got to get into our word. The reason is so critical. Let's say it together. Listen, and I invite you to say this with us online. I want you to do this. If you're here in person, let's just do this with us. Have a little participation. It's so nice to have an audience. It's so hard to talk to a camera for so many times and singing. So just participate. Say this with me. Just repeat this with me. Okay, we're going to do it 3 times. Ready? Followers of Jesus. Say. All right, do it with me. All right, so ready? Refuse to allow dust to collect on the words which other followers of Jesus gave their life. Let's do it 2 more times, okay? Let's do it. Ready? Followers of Jesus refuse to allow dust to collect on the words which other followers of Jesus gave their life. All right, 1 more time online, everybody listen in. Here we go. Followers of Jesus refuse to allow dust to collect on the words for which other followers of Jesus gave their life. I hope I've made it clear. If you're confused about what to do, look at his word. If you're in need of healing, look into his word. If you need direction, look into his word. If you're hopeless, look into his word. The answer always has been, and the answer will always be found in the word of God. And his word has a name. And his name is Jesus. Always has been, always will be the answer of everything that we search for in our nation. How to respond, what to do, how to talk, how should I say, where should we go? Feel down, look in his word. So consider this today your release date. Consider this an opportunity to let Satan know that although you may put a mask on your face, that does not mean you have to shut your mouth. I will continue. Just imagine saying this. I will continue to pray. I'll continue to praise. I'll continue to serve. I will continue to worship the living God, and nothing will stop me from absorbing the light so I can distribute the light to the world. That's what it means when it says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light to the world. First, you have to absorb it so that you can extinguish it out and distribute it out to others. I'll invite the band up. We're going to sing one final song together, then we're going to conclude our service. And we're going to have something we're going to do over the next 40 days. I want to invite you to join with us. If you're online, join this with us here in person. Join us on this. We are going to have a daily reading plan together. We're going to keep reading through Scripture together as a church. And we're going to have a daily reading plan through the Gospels in 40 days. We put a reading plan together for you online. You can follow along with us on that. And we've made it very simple for you. We just say day one, and then it's just about a chapter or two a day. It's about 2 chapters a day. We're going to walk through the whole Gospels together. And here's why we're doing this, because we cannot allow dust to collect on the words which other followers of Jesus gave their life. We just can't do that any longer. We've got to continue to absorb. The answer is in here. And you say, well, I don't know the Gospel message. Well, then we're going to read through the Gospels. Why? because there's nothing more important than you understanding that gospel story. Nothing is more important than you understanding that. That's what we were called and created to do, to share this gospel message, to continue the work that Christ began when he died on the cross and then was resurrected from the grave. We're called to carry out that work. So we're going to read through the Gospels together online. There was no way I could end this series, I believe this, in the book of Acts without sharing the gospel message. And if you don't know it, I encourage you to write it down or listen again so that you can share it with someone else around you. We're going to sing a song in just a minute called Waymaker. Before we do, I want to take a moment to share this gospel with you, and I want you to listen in. If you need to grab your pen or grab a phone out to write this down to kind of copy off of how I'm going to present it, by all means. But maybe you're listening in for the first time. Maybe you're here and you don't know the gospel story. Well, I'm going to tell it to you. It always begins with sin. No human in creation of the world is perfect. No one would say, I'm perfect. You're not. You simply say that by, you ever been jealous? Yeah. You ever had envy in your heart? Yeah. You ever hated so much that maybe you thought about killing somebody? Some have. Have you committed adultery? Maybe. Maybe you have. You ever stolen something? You ever lied? You ever had greed in your heart? Selfishness? The list could go on and on and on and on. The reality is every single human being falls short of the standard of perfection and the perfection and the holiness of God. So here's the question then. If we're all going to this place called heaven, or if there's this place called heaven, which we believe there is, with Christ seated at the right hand of God the Father, and heaven is perfect, there's no sickness in heaven, there's no disease in heaven, there's no greed in heaven, there's no murder, there's no jealousy, there's no selfishness, none of this is in heaven, then how do you create a perfect place with imperfect people? Well, you can't. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take the death penalty for us. That through him, we would actually be made perfect with God. That as we remove ourselves from this earth and our souls go on to heaven, we get a new body. And it's perfect. And in your soul in heaven, there's no greed, there's no hate, there's no racism, there's no jealousy, there's no envy, there's no selfishness. How do you get that removed from your heart then? That's what Jesus did on the cross. He took that from you and he put it on himself and he nailed it to a cross and he overcame the penalty of death when he was resurrected so that you could have eternal life in Jesus. Not so that you can live a perfect life on earth, but so that the day that you die from this earth and you go on towards heaven, you'll be seen perfect and righteous in the eyes of God. Perfect. Without sin, because of what Christ has done for you. This is the gospel message, that Jesus came to die for the sins of the world, that whoever would believe in him and confess him as Lord in their life would not perish, but have eternal life. And they would enter the gates of heaven. God made a way to be made right with him through his son, Jesus. That is the gospel message. If you invite you to stand, we're going to sing a song together, and then we'll dismiss.